podcast from Patriots.com.
Check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Welcome to the Ross Report Podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm Lori Baranski, and it's April 4th here at Gillette Stadium. Once again, we bring you Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy Hart, giving you all the latest, including the preseason schedule. So what's going on over there, Andy?
Well, what's going on is it's a good thing there's a preseason schedule, because there's not a whole heck of a lot else going on. Even some people expected the regular season schedule to be out this week. There were rumors that it would come out yesterday. Did not. Now the expectation is that it's going to come out in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, sometime, so, maybe next
April.
Week at the earliest.
I don't know why they can't just give you a date every year. The draft has a date.
That's
Super
right.
Bowl has a date. Everything else has a date.
That's a good point.
Give me a date when the schedule comes out if everybody's going to be interested in it. But anyway, that's a different rant for a different day. I will quickly run down the Patriots' preseason opponents as announced yesterday. And they do not have specific times and dates as of yet.
Only one of them.
Except for one.
Yes. August 7th to the 11th, they will play the Baltimore Ravens at home at a time and date to be announced. That game will be on the Patriots preseason TV network. August 17th, a nationally televised NFL Network evening affair, 8 p.m. in Tampa. Paul, you're a big fan of the Tampa area.
Can't wait to get back to Tampa. One of my favorite spots.
August 21st through the 25th, somewhere in that range, they will host the Eagles here at Gillette Stadium. Again, date and time to be announced on the Patriots preseason network. And then they'll close out the preseason and close out everything lately with a game against the Giants.
It sucks.
Head down to New York, take on the Giants again, to be announced the 28th or the 29th at Giants Stadium. But, you know, they like that Giants matchup, a matchup rematch of the Super Bowl and the regular season game and the preseason game from last year. A lot of Giants in the air these days, huh? But anyway, this is a roster report, and since we have no actual roster additions and or deletions this week, we're going to do a little thing we started last week where we're looking at the individual position groups in order from deepest to weakest, so we are clearly moving towards linebackers and corners. Started last week with the defensive linemen. We'll pick up now with the offensive linemen. Paul Perillo, why don't you give us a quick rundown of your state of the offensive line?
Well, despite the Super Bowl, Andy, I think the offensive line's in pretty good shape. I think they have a pretty solid, at least solid four starters. There's a little bit of flux, I think, with the right tackle spot with Nick Kazier, sort of having a slight edge over Ryan O'Callaghan, and they also have Wesley Britt there who has at least some starting experience. But I think overall, when you factor in O'Callaghan and Britt and inside with Russ Hochstein, I think you're dealing with a very deep line. There's eight guys there. That have started and played significant action. And then even you go a little further and you have Billy Yates, who also has starting experience. So I don't think there's a lot of room on the offensive line unless you're going to bring in some significant talent because you have to beat out those incumbents. I think they have nine incumbents there, and it's going to take something out of a draft pick, and I'm sure that they will draft some because they always do. They put a lot of emphasis on developing young offensive linemen here. I think the offensive line's in pretty good shape.
Pop quiz, Grandpa. Nine guys you mentioned. Who are the two others?
Watermelon Head.
Go.
I'm sorry?
There's two others on the roster that you did not mention.
Two other
offensive linemen currently
offensive
under contract.
Linemen, I don't know.
I'll give you Dan Connolly as one.
I was going to say Dan Sullivan. Connolly was the guy I was thinking about, though.
Now, anyone? Anyone? Lori?
I got nothing.
Another offensive lineman on the roster.
Yes.
You mentioned Hochstein. Right.
That's going to be guy on the O-line?
He's currently under contract. Has never played for the team. Or
hi there.
Any
team for all I know.
James Martin.
Jimmy Martin. Offensive lineman out of Va Tech. A first-year player, you know, bounced around a little bit.
Signee from a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Right. Unlikely to, ever appear in a game for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I just think those guys are going to have to really have strong showings in the offseason and then during training camp and in the preseason because I think you have some young guys who aren't making tons of money who have played. So I think in order to beat out a guy like Billy Yates or Ryan O'Callaghan or Wesley Britt, I think you're really going to have to come in and have a really, really strong effort in the camps and stuff. And I think that's a tall order.
Particularly if they do take a lineman, either, say, the first, second, even third round, a guy who most likely will make the squad.
Right.
It's going to be really tough, even for that draft pick. any draft pick that they take this year. It's gonna be a fight. They're gonna have to make a decision with one of those incumbents, like you said, Paul. There's just not going to be enough room to carry all these
now
guys.
If there's somebody that has enough promise, I would think at this point a guy like Hochstein or maybe even Yates, it's been around 4 or 5, Hochstein even longer.
Why can't I be the director?
So even their minimal salaries are probably starting to get up there now.
Yeah, Hoker's an 8.
Yeah, so you might want to save some money if you have a guy who's showing enough promise. But I think realistically you're looking at day 2 picks for the offensive line in the draft, and probably hoping for spots on the practice squad to develop.
The one thing we haven't discussed is Stephen Neal's injury status, not only with the shoulder he's been dealing with a lot of last season and his entire career here in New England, essentially, but the knee injury he suffered in the Super Bowl that sent him to the locker room early and had him out of uniform for the end of the game. Reports this offseason are that he had successful shoulder surgery. That's a tough one. 3 S's in a row there. But and no surgery on the knee. So, there were some rumors that maybe he wouldn't be ready for the start of training camp. But by all accounts, at least published reports, seems like he is going to be ready. But I do think that's a concern, even if he is ready. Maybe having a young guy ready to develop, because Hochstein is what he is at this point. Yates maybe is what he is. So there might be a possibility, a 3rd, 4th round pick at guard with the long-term view of this guy could be a Stephen Neal replacement if we have to later in the season, next year, moving forward. So I think Paul's right. I think right tackle is the least solidified.
And that's the one area that
O'Callaghan.
Yeah, that's the one area we should point out. If they did draft somebody higher, let's say they ended up with Ryan Clady or someone like that, there's a potential that
you start to right tackle
yes,
from day one.
Yeah, I don't want to dismiss that as a possibility. That's also
right.
But
as we said, we're going in order from deepest positions to weakest, an offensive line.
Very
despite
deep.
The showing in the Super Bowl that irritated many a fan, many an ASPFW asking for an overhaul of the offensive line after that performance, you have 3 Pro Bowlers. You have an All-Pro left tackle. You have a budding All-Pro guard in Logan Mankins. You have some money and draft picks invested there. It's a pretty solid line. It's a pretty good group of guys, and I think there's a lot of confidence from the coaching staff in those guys, whether it's Dante Scarnecchia and the job he does with them, or Bill Belichick. So I wouldn't expect, other than maybe the Clady pick, a lot of emphasis on the offensive line in the draft. So it would either be a starter at right tackle or some depth for guard tackle, second day of the draft. But it's a pretty good group with a pretty good coach,
and that's good.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
they protect Tom Brady, and that's the most important thing that goes on that playing field that's just outside these doors. Protect the franchise named Tom Brady.
Damn right.
Speaking of the franchise, she's done it all. She's been a cheerleader. She's hosted TV programs. She hosts podcasts. She does some other stuff, too, I guess. Back to Lori.
Well, thank you, and thanks, guys. Join us again next week for a new Ross Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.
Thank you.